Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. I am super excited, as always, to share with you episode 3 of season 3. I have been really intentional this season, and I'm only interviewing guests that I strongly connect with. Not that I haven't in the past, but I'm doing less episodes this season just because I just announced that I'm pregnant and taking care of Lizzie, and I'm opening up my own law firm, and I'm still doing part-time work for my employer. So life is just so crazy and so hectic, and I want to make sure that I'm putting out good quality content instead of just putting out a lot of content. So every Tuesday or Wednesday, you'll get a new Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast episode, and it'll be really intentional and specific in the content, and I'm just really excited to share it with you. So with that being said, this week I interviewed Mama Jessie Truelove. She is a pre- and postnatal fitness specialist and postpartum corrective exercise specialist. She has a certification in personal training, and she is just really super focused on the prenatal and postpartum woman. I reached out to her because I saw that she had a little girl who happens to be the same exact age as Elizabeth, and I wanted to chat with her about rehabbing the pelvic floor and repairing diastasis recti, which if you have had a baby, you know that a lot of mamas go through this. And I interviewed her initially for the website A Sweat Life, and I got so much great content from her that I wanted to actually bring her on the podcast and have her share her experience. She had an emergency C-section, and since then she's really focused on the best approaches to healing her body, and we talk about her thoughts on diastasis recti surgery and just working from home. On why movement is just so important for mamas. So, with that being said, I don't think she needs any more of an introduction. Let's chat with Jessie Truelove. Hi, Jessie, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, Erica. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to finally chat with you. Why don't we start with giving a brief background about yourself so you can introduce yourself to the Bring Your Own Kombucha listeners.
Perfect. My name is Jessie Truelove, and I'm married to my high school sweetheart, Shane. We've been together for 11 years, and we met in high school in California, and we live in Oklahoma. We've been here for the past 5 years. We moved here for college, and we just fell in love with the slower pace and the people, so we bought our first home here. I've also been a NASM certified trainer and a women's fitness specialist since 2014, and since having my baby, I have gotten pre- and postnatal certified as a trainer and postpartum corrective exercise certified as well, because when you are pregnant and you have a baby and then working through motherhood, it's like the hardest thing ever on our bodies physically and mentally. So it's only fitting that there's a specialization for correcting our postpartum posture and muscle imbalances all on its own.
Totally.
But, it's funny because when you go through your trainer certification, you learn about different muscle imbalances and postures, and it is crazy that postpartum, you basically get all of the worst things combined into one posture. So it should just basically be named its own thing, like postpartum posture.
It really is. And like you're saying, like, it's so important to work out because your body is going through so much. I feel like it's so taboo. Like, the traditional view is that, you know, pregnant women should just, like, kick their feet up and relax and, you know, which they should, but also, like, it really is important to, like, you know, be intuitive with your body and work out and keep it strong for labor and for postpartum.
Right. And, you know, our body adapts to the changes that are happening. So when you're pregnant and you have your belly that's growing, those are, you know, weights that are being placed on your body that weren't previously there. So your body adapts. And the way that we make sure that we don't get those muscle imbalances is that we keep the muscles that are supposed to be keeping our posture upright, we keep those strong. So it's so important that we're working out through our entire pregnancy. You know, if you haven't been restricted by your doctor, I totally think that women everywhere should be working out throughout their pregnancy to maintain good posture and maintain those muscles, because those weaknesses and back pain and, you know, all sorts of stuff happen during pregnancy, and that's because our body isn't strong enough to hold up that belly and adapt to the pressures and weights that are being placed on us pretty rapidly too. You know, 9 months is not a lot of time to be having that such drastic of a change.
Absolutely. And the way society expects you to bounce back afterwards is even shorter amount of time. I mean, at first I was like a subscriber to the mentality of 9 months on, 9 months off. And I'm like, oh, that's like doable and whatever. And, you know, for some people it might be doable, for others maybe not. But that's just not the point of view. Like, I took, like, it took me a full year to get back to my pre-pregnancy weight, not necessarily my pre-pregnancy body. And after that, I was like, wow, that's such, like, that even the 9 months on, 9 months off is such a harsh, like, thing to put on a woman after they birth a baby.
Like, we don't have enough pressure already.
Yeah, like, we don't have enough on our plate to be like, keeping a little human alive.
Right. We're supposed to take care of this baby that we just birthed and make sure that, you know, we're taking care of the house and doing all the dishes, and then maybe going back to work after 6 weeks. And, you know, there's so many things. And just to put any kind of time frame, I feel like, on and make it just a guideline for everybody is just ridiculous. And, you know, here it brings up a topic that I think is so important. You know, social media is a great creative outlet, and it is a great way to connect with people and you know, share in things that are normal, you know, that maybe we don't feel like are normal, that are only happening to us. But it also is a lot of social pressure. You know, you see women that are pregnant and they have a baby, and they literally walk out of the hospital looking like they didn't have a baby, or 6 weeks after, as soon as they're cleared, they're doing jumping jacks and burpees and sprinting, and that's just not a realistic expectation. And I think that's why it's so important to find somebody that is specialized in the postpartum and prenatal field, because if you are following these fitness influencers that have looked a certain way through the entirety of their fitness journey, or through their account at least, you know, they're portraying a certain image, and now they're pregnant, which is not what their audience is coming to their page for. You know, they get pregnant, and after they deliver, they are doing all these mommy and me workouts, you know, that 6 weeks after they've been cleared, and it is so damaging, not only to themselves, because, you know, they're not feeling good doing those workouts. They're doing it to portray a certain thing, because that's what their audience expects. And I totally get it. It's a lot of pressure. Those women have those pressures of bouncing back as well. You know, it's not just limited to everyday women. It's the women that are, you know, portraying themselves in a certain way. But it's damaging, because the women that are following these accounts trust these fitness influencers. They are in a vulnerable state after you deliver. I can't even explain the vulnerability that I felt. You know, you don't know that until you're a mom, until you go through it yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is it's a lot of pressure. And to have people that you trust and that you look to for inspiration and for safe workouts, and you see them doing these workouts, standing next to their crib with their baby laying on the ground next to them, and they're doing burpees and jumping jacks and push-ups, you know, it can be a really dangerous thing to put out into the world. And that's why I just feel like, as a mom and as a fitness professional, that it's my social responsibility to create safe and effective workouts for these women. Because I found, after my really hard delivery and labor story, that there was a lack of information out there and a lack of support for myself. And I was a fitness trainer for 5 years, and I had never felt more alone or, you know, just not myself. I felt like a stranger in my body, and that was really weird for me. And I struggled to find myself and feel like myself, you know, the strong fitness trainer. And I decided that that was what it was going to be for me, to become that support and become that resource for women after their deliveries and years postpartum. Because once you have a baby, you know, you're postpartum forever. And so
you're right.
That's a huge market, you know, a huge group and population of people that need help and need support that maybe they don't even know they need. You know, they go into a gym and they get a personal trainer, and, you know, I'm sure they're super strong and knowledgeable about how to get big muscles, but it's a completely different story when you're doing jumping jacks and you're peeing your pants. You know, that's a different animal.
Absolutely. So with that being said, where do you start? Let's start, chronological order, getting pregnant. Once you're pregnant, what are your guidelines, and what should pregnant women be focusing on when they do work out?
Well, it really depends on what you were doing before you got pregnant. So if you were really active and, working out all the time daily with weights and that sort of thing, you can pretty much do what you were doing for pretty much the first trimester, although there's a lot of things that are going on during the first trimester. Your blood pressure and your blood volume is changing. And so when you're getting, you know, onto the ground and up off the ground, you might be experiencing dizziness and lightheadedness. I know I did. And, you know, you don't even look pregnant yet at that point. You're just in the very beginning weeks, and you're like, what the heck? I'm so huffy and puffy doing these workouts that I have been doing for so long. And, I mean, that's basically what I went through. I was going to the gym, and it would take me an hour and a half to get through my workout because I would have to stop and sit down. And I was like, geez, is this how it's going to be the whole time? You know? But, you know, you can pretty much do everything you were doing, you know, and throughout your entire pregnancy and postpartum and before you even think about getting pregnant, you want to be super aware of how you're recruiting your core. So if you are seeing any doming, any toning or bulging in your abdomen when you're doing leg lifts or push-ups or planks or anything that's a front-loading exercise, you want to be super aware that you are regulating that pressure correctly. Or when you become pregnant, it's only going to get worse because you have something that's really pushing up against your ab wall. And so I think that we really can't put a prescribed exercise workout for every single woman that gets pregnant. But I do believe that you need to just listen to your body, you know, and things are not going to feel good, then you need to back off of those things. And if it does feel good, then you're pretty much okay to do them. You can, there's women that are, you know, running marathons while they're pregnant. Not that that's what I'm recommending that you do, but, you know, it just depends. If you don't want to be taking any extra risk while you're pregnant or trying to max out or PR, you know, while you're pregnant. It's just not the time for that. But you do want to keep those muscles strong. Usually by the second trimester, the morning sickness has gone away, and you feel like you're more energized. Your body has adapted to a lot of the changes that were going on in the first trimester, and you're able to get through a workout and really feel good about getting through that without having to stop so much. And again, during the second trimester, you want to be careful of front-loading exercises. So that's front planks, push-ups, crunches, sit-ups. You don't want to really be doing any of those. Some great alternatives to those are more things that are contracting the deep abdominals, so like marching on your back or heel slides. And if laying on your back doesn't feel good while you're pregnant because you've got that big bowling ball on your belly, you know, just lay down there for 30 seconds, do your exercise, and sit back up. Maybe not stand all the way back up because, again, with the lightheadedness, that can affect you in that way. But you can also modify by putting yourself in an incline. So keeping your upper body on a couch or on a chair really helps make sure that the blood is flowing and that you don't have all that pressure from your belly.
That's really good information. Do you have like a preference that you work with your clients on, whether it be like Pilates or just like individual exercises or, I don't know, just like anything that you would like recommend? I know that, you know, like you said, if you have to be working out prior to pregnancy, that's why it's really important prior to getting pregnant, like kind of having a game plan and having an exercise routine. But is there anything that you recommend to clients when they're pregnant?
Yeah. A lot of deep belly breathing. So a lot of us tend to think that when you get pregnant, that your abs are just completely gone. You don't have any core strength because you're all stretched out.
That's exactly the thought.
You know, so like, what's the point of trying to work out your core? But there are so many good core exercises, and it's so important because it helps, you know, hold everything up and in, and so it doesn't put so much pressure on your back. So what I like to do is I created a conscious core program, and it's basically just diving deep into breathing techniques and deep core exercises targeting the transverse abdominis, which is your corset muscle. This muscle has been talked about so much on social media right now, and it's so great because women are getting educated. You know, you aren't given this information when you're going to your regular doctor or your OB. You know, their job is to make sure that you have a great pregnancy and that you're safe and the baby is safe and then a safe delivery and recovery. You know, they're not there to make sure that you have a strong core.
Right.
So I like to provide the resources to be able to maintain that core integrity, because if you, let's say you have a really pregnant woman in front of you and you ask her to cough or you watch her laugh, you can see those muscles contract. You see that belly lift and rise because laughing or coughing is a forced exhale, which initiates those deep abdominal muscles to engage. So we still have our core muscles. They're still working. But the ones that we don't really want to focus on are the rectus abdominis, our six-pack muscles. Nobody should be trying to get a six-pack while you're pregnant. That's just, that's my big tip. But so Pilates, I would say, is a really, really core intensive, and you're stretched out a lot. And so I would just say to be really careful with that. Same thing with yoga. Transitions into certain yoga poses can be really intense on the core. So just be mindful of that. There's a lot of front planking and walking out into a front plank from standing. And so just to be mindful, there is some prenatal classes for yoga. I know they are around, and that's a great alternative than to just going to a regular yoga class or hot yoga. I definitely wouldn't recommend. You want to make sure that you're not getting too hot when you're working out, because that can just raise the temperature, you know, of everything, and your baby's in there. So we need to be careful of that also. But strength training is recommended, you know, and not to go super heavy, but to keep your muscles strong. So do something that's challenging, but not that you're losing your losing your deep breathing. So you don't want to be shallow breathing up into your chest. You want to make sure that you have those nice deep breaths, and you're able to talk throughout your whole workout. You don't want to be, you know, straining and struggling to hold a conversation. That's a really good way to test whether you're pushing it too hard.
You've actually said that to me before, and I love that tip. You should be able to talk while you are working out, because that's like your safe space.
Right. And that's just generally speaking. You know, for the vast majority of people, they aren't doing like Spartan races and CrossFit workouts while they're pregnant. There are the women that do that, and that's a whole nother topic. But for generally speaking, that's where I would like to keep my clients that are pregnant, because that's just the safe place to do it. We're still getting work done. We're still raising the heart rate. We're still working the muscles, but we aren't putting extreme stresses on the body, which is not something that we're looking to do, you know, when you're carrying your baby.
Awesome. So let's shift over to post-baby. And okay. What are some of your recommendations for postpartum? So specifically, let's start with, like, okay, you had your baby and you are cleared to work out. Say it's like, you know, month 4 and you're just starting to get a little tiny bit of energy back. We're right before the sleep regression and you are ready to start putting movement into your routine. So what are some things that you should look out for your body, specifically like signs of diastasis recti, and I probably butchered how you say that, but
you're right.
And things like that. Like, what are some of the things, because this is like a whole new world. It's a whole new journey postpartum. And I've only had one child, but I can totally see how each child, you know, each labor is different, mm-hmm. and it's just a new journey each time. So what are some tips and cues that you tell your clients?
Okay, so yeah, you touched on something pretty important there, that, you know, every delivery and every pregnancy is different, along with everybody's postpartum. But I'm going to wrap it all up and make it all relate. Pregnancy is the same for everyone in the sense that your baby bump has put a lot of pressure down on your pelvic floor, out on your abdominals, and up on your diaphragm. Regardless of how fit you were during your pregnancy or, you know, before your pregnancy, even during pregnancy, the change was very gradual. The delivery is instant, and the balance is different, posture is different, your weight has changed drastically in one day, and your intra-abdominal pressure has changed. You know, we had that big belly, and it was pushing up against our abdominals, and we kind of have learned how to gain stability, and our posture has changed to support our body. And it all changes very quickly, and we need to give our body a lot of time to heal and adapt. So in that way, delivery and postpartum period, we can all relate in that way. You know, there's been a lot of stress on the abdominals, a lot of stress on the diaphragm, and a lot of stress on the pelvic floor. So even before that four month mark, you want to be already starting to reconnect the mind and muscles of your abdominals and your pelvic floor, because that's all changed during pregnancy and your delivery. So you want to be really mindful of that and start reconnecting those nerves, sending brain signals down there, trying to contract your pelvic floor with your abdominals during your breathing exercises or your gentle deep core workouts. But you also want to start challenging yourself, because that's where we get the magic. You know, that's where you really start to see the changes. You need to stress the body just enough, just a little bit past what it's used to gain strength. So what I like to start with is breathing exercises straight away postpartum. So if you are cleared from your doctor, you can absolutely start, but you can even ask your doctor to clear you for some breathing exercises and some gentle core movements and ab workouts before you're cleared for your regular activity. Things that you can do laying down in your bed even. So like heel slides or your knee fallouts, and then just your breathing and your core contractions. You can do laying down, you can do laying on your side. And so these are really great ways to start sending those brain signals to wake up those muscles that can get turned off during pregnancy, and they can feel really damaged after delivery. My posture was honestly so terrible from being hunched over and feeding my baby for what seemed like 24/7. I felt like I was always attached to her. And so that can throw us into really bad posture, and our shoulders being hunched over, and, you know, our butt being tucked underneath us to try to support our pelvic floor. So I think aside from breathing, you really want to focus on your posture, because that's going to have a huge effect on your abdominal canister, which is your diaphragm and your core and your pelvic floor. They all need to be aligned to be able to get good good contractions and good breaths of air, which is so important. Our breath is our life force, and there's a lot of power there. But let's say you are 4 months out. That's going to be the time that you want to start adding maybe some more intense workouts, like some lunges and some squats. But, you know, it all really depends on how you're feeling. If something doesn't feel good, then maybe you need to modify and you need to have a chair behind you. Or, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can approach that time. But in regards to the DR, this is a huge topic right now because everybody is talking about DR, and I feel like it's just come to the forefront of postpartum. I feel like nobody was really talking about it before.
Yes.
Nobody really even knew about it.
I feel like our moms just didn't treat it. Like they just didn't have that support.
No. And I mean, how many women can you talk to and ask them, you know, if they're willing to talk about it? I feel like it's so taboo to ask if, you know, they leak while they do jumping jacks or when they step off a curb, or how many women do you see that have to cross their legs when they sneeze? You know, these are all pressure issues, and they are symptoms of things that are going on in our body that aren't being taken care of.
So can you tell us what DR exactly is?
Yeah. So DR is the separation of the rectus abdominis muscles. So you have your linea alba, that is the connective tissue that runs down the center of your abdomen. So if, you know, you can just take your fingers and just start at the base of your sternum, at the bottom of your ribs here, or your breastbone, and just work down your belly button, and it runs all the way down to your pubic bone. And this is what connects the two six-pack muscles together. And during pregnancy, that connective tissue stretches and the rectus bellies move away from each other to make room for your baby, which is totally natural and amazing that your body can do that, because it most of the time comes back together. So during my studies, I had found that a study that was done on women with DR that, 100% of the women had DR at delivery. So everybody has to have DR to make room for the belly. You know, you can't have a six pack and you can't have those muscles touching when you're pregnant. It's just not possible. So I don't want people to think that it's absolutely a negative thing, because you need to make room for the baby, and that's how your body does it, which is, you know, magic. How does your body do that? You know, but, and then so at 6 weeks postpartum, when you're cleared for physical activity, 60% of the women still had the separation. So that's why we have to be so mindful of that coning or the doming or ridging that happens when we're doing, like, sitting up out of bed even. Or let's say you're in the shower and you're reaching up to wash your hair. Most of the time, women are going to lean back. They're going to thrust their ribs forward and kind of arch their back. And you'll be able to see that ridging or that doming. You could do it sitting down in your chair right now. If you just lean back and arch your back, your ribs are thrusting forward, you might be able to get that ridge or that coning from your belly. That's going to be your abdominal separation. And then so at 6 months postpartum, if you still have your DR, which in this study, about 40% of the women still had it, it's most likely that you are going to need some special work and some special training to bring those rectus bellies back together. So what that means is that your deep abdominals maybe aren't firing, and bringing those muscles together, stretching and strengthening those connective tissues. So in the medical sense, if you have a separation of two fingers wide or more, then you have DR. So you can do a self-check. I have one on my Instagram also where you can check yourself for DR. It is a medical condition, so you need to be diagnosed by a doctor or a physical therapist. But you can definitely get an idea of where you think you have it, because you can have it anywhere along your linea alba. So you want to go ahead and check the separation of width. But what we're finding is that what's even more important than the width is the depth. So some people are able to, when contracting their core, they can bring their abs together, the rectus abdominis muscles. They can bring that six-pack muscles together down to maybe a one finger gap, you know, so you're bringing that gap closer, but with that core engagement, you can still stick your fingers way down into your belly. that's going to say that you're having trouble initiating your deep abdominal muscles. And we know that the transverse abdominis and the internal obliques, those really deep ab muscles, work with the pelvic floor. So if you're super squishy, even with a one finger gap, so if you can stick one finger all the way down into your belly, it's most likely that you're probably experiencing some pelvic floor weakness or, low back pain or pain during sex. So it's really important that we're getting some bounce back, that we're getting that trampoline feeling in between those muscles. So if, let's say, you have a two finger gap, but when you engage your core and you lift your pelvic floor on that exhale, that your finger going down into that space, if it feels more like a trampoline, that's a great sign that your deep abdominal muscles are firing. So that's great. You've already been starting to send those brain signals down to that area and getting it to fire. And it's just going to take some more work. You know, fascia takes a long time to heal. And with slow, controlled, conscious movements, I'm super confident that most women will be able to fix their DR or improve at least what is causing the DR to happen in the first place. Diastasis recti and pelvic organ prolapse are pressure issues. It's a poorly regulated pressure that the body creates. And that pressure is going to look for the path of least resistance. So let's say that's your pelvic floor because you just delivered a baby vaginally. If you're trying to gain core stability by bearing down on your pelvic floor, let's say when you're lifting your kids and you're pushing down on your pelvic floor and you just delivered a baby, that's going to be the path of least resistance and you could end up with pelvic organ prolapse, which is not fun. And the lighter end of things, you could end up with leaking. You know, when you're squatting down and then standing back up lifting your kid, if you're bearing down on your pelvic floor and you experience leaking, that could be the reason why that's happening. But the same thing with DR. After we have a baby, our belly is not strong. Our core is weak. We're all stretched out. And so that's going to be the path of least resistance. So I see a lot of things on social media talking about big belly breathing. And I'm not sure that we necessarily want to be telling newly postpartum women that we want to be breathing huge into our belly and only our belly, because that space is already stretched. You know, that's already going to be our path of least resistance, because especially if we have DR, there's a weakness there. And so that pressure is going to go right towards that linea alba and pushing out. So if you're sitting up out of bed or doing an ab workout and you see that ridging or that coning, you know that your pressure is not being regulated correctly. And you need to scale back off of that workout and just do something a little bit more modified. Not that you'll never be able to do a crunch again, but just not right now. You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. So if you can do a front plank, but your form is terrible and you've got your diastasis separating and pressure coming out all over the place, it's not going to be beneficial to do that until the rest of your body can support that pressure.
I love that you said that, because it's so true. Like we kind of mentioned earlier, you know, we have so much pressure postpartum, and you're right. Like jumping ahead of what your body can do at that point is just going to be more detrimental than helpful.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the time you think that I'm just going to jump right back into things and get those crunches in. And like you said, like you really do need to reach out to somebody who specializes in postpartum care, because the way you treat your body postpartum is just totally different than, you know, your 18-year-old self who, you know, can squeeze into those skinny jeans without an issue.
Absolutely. You know, when I was in the hospital, the doctor told me after my C-section, I had a 26-hour labor, and it went completely the opposite of what I wanted. And I ended up having an emergency C-section. And we were there for so many extra days because I got an infection, and it was like a whole thing. But he told me that I couldn't leave until he could see me get out of bed by myself, which if I don't know if this is the case for everybody after a C-section, but I was in so much pain, and I just felt like the oldest lady that ever was, and that I just was struggling so bad. And he watched me struggle and try to get out of bed. And my husband was like wincing and clenching his jaw with each like grunt and move that I made. And that was the moment that I realized how much freaking core strength it takes to bring your knee to your chest or to swing your leg out of the bed to put it on the ground, you know. And when you have a really strong core, they seem really easy, but postpartum, it was so tough. And that's when being fit and being strong and fitness, you know, really changed for me. My idea of being strong was like changed forever after that.
Absolutely. But it was really interesting. I mean, I love my family, but when I got pregnant for the first time and I kept going to yoga and just like I kept up with my workout regime and they're like, what are you doing? Rest, relax, you're growing a baby, blah, blah, blah. And of course I was taking it easy, but
yeah.
I'm like, no way. Like I am going to go through labor. Like, and yeah. That's scary. And I want my body to just be marathon. So strong. Exactly. Like yeah. You just want to be so strong. You want this to, you know, have everything in your favor.
Right.
So let's shift just a little bit because I love what you're doing. I love that your practice focuses on moms and pregnant women. And I really want to know, like, what made you turn this into a full-time job or a side hustle? And do you have any advice for mamas who want to do the same?
Oh my gosh, I could talk about this forever. I really could. I feel like my whole pregnancy and my whole delivery and like that whole postpartum feeling of just feeling so outside of my body and so lost completely fueled like a passion to become a resource and that support system that I didn't have for women. What's funny is in 2018, the year that my daughter was born, it was probably, I had decided that year that was going to be the year that I was going to get a six pack. You know, I have been an athlete all my life. And after being an athlete in high school and competitive gymnastics and all kinds of stuff, I got really involved with my gym and I wanted to help people fall in love with the gym also. And so I was getting really strong. And when we moved out here to Oklahoma, I had my Move with True Love classes. They were group circuit classes that were cardio weight endurance based. And, you know, we weren't training for Spartan races, but they were challenging. And it's hard to come into a group class and keep form and keep up and, you know, go at your own pace also when you're coming into these classes as a woman that maybe needs a lot of support and guidance. And so I was teaching these classes and I was pushing these ladies, you know, I was pushing these women that would come in and they would leave sweating. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was such a good class. You know, great job, everybody. And I had a group of girls that would come to my classes and they, you know, consistently. And then I would get new people, maybe like mid to late 20s, 30s, 40s. And, you know, most of them had children before. And I was finding that they would come to one class and they wouldn't come back. And I could not figure out why. And the thing was is that I was ignorant to what, you know, happens to the body postpartum and through pregnancy. Because as a certified personal trainer, you are, you know, put through this test and continuing education courses and everything every year. But I swear the pregnancy and postpartum section of my book was maybe 3 pages. And like 3 pages, a woman that has had a baby goes to a personal trainer to get fit and to get strong and to stop leaking when you're doing stuff and make that mommy pooch go away because you have a diastasis. And we don't even have a better word for it than a mommy pooch because we have no idea what diastasis is. And doctors are barely even checking for it. You seriously have to be your own advocate and ask about these things and get educated because you know, their job is to deliver your baby and make sure that you both are safe. And my doctors 100% did their job, but I was left with a body that I did not recognize. And these women not coming back to my classes, I figured out that nobody wants to go to a class and have to modify every single exercise because
you're right.
It hurts your low back, or because you are feeling like heaviness in your pelvic floor or bulging out on your core, you know, and that's just not fun. Nobody wants to leave feeling completely defeated. And even though workouts should be challenging and you should sweat and you should get a little bit sore, you should not have to not be able to walk for 3 days, you know, to be functional. That's not what we're doing every day in our functional lives. So why are we going to the gym and killing ourselves, you know, trying to look a certain way when that's not really what our body is meant to do? And also, it should be fun. It should always be fun. So I think my biggest piece of advice for women looking to start working out or figure out what their form of being active is to just find something that you love to do and do a little bit of it every day, whether that's 10 minutes or 15 minutes, because that's all you have. And as a mom, now I completely understand these women were coming to classes and fearing that they were going to pee their pants doing these cardio classes. And that's horrifying, you know, and with a bunch of other women in the room that maybe have the same thing going on, but nobody's talking about it because it's taboo and because it's embarrassing. I want to normalize all of the things that happen postpartum and tell you that they are normal. A lot of women do them, a lot, you know, it's very common, but it's not something that you have to live with. It is not a side effect of having babies. You can fix all of those things. And even for people that, you know, are considering going out and having surgery, here's the thing is that pelvic organ prolapse or diastasis is a symptom. It's not a cause. And so something in our body, a muscle imbalance, posture, breathing techniques, they're causing this pressure to go out because it's not being regulated correctly by our pelvic floor or by our abdominals, because we're not firing our deep abdominals correctly because we were never educated how to. All we've been told for the last 20 years is to do 1,000 sit-ups every day, you know? And nobody can do 1,000 sit-ups with great form, and so our body starts to compensate. Also, our society puts extreme pressures on women having to suck in their bellies all day, and that's creating a cinch in our canister. So if we are holding in our bellies all day and breathing into our chest, the pressure from us breathing or coughing or stepping off a curb has nowhere else to go but down, because you're already holding in your belly, your chest is already full of air. So if you need to cough or sneeze, that pressure is going to go straight down into your pelvic floor, because that's the only place that's not being supported. And that's why you see women cross their legs when they have to sneeze or cough, because, you know, they're vulnerable.
I love what you said, saying that just because it's common, basically, it doesn't mean that it's like a life sentence. You don't have to live with it.
Right.
Being, absolutely. You know, just because we all are going through it doesn't mean that it's necessarily normal.
Right. And you know what? I had a C-section and I still was leaking. So that's just a testament to how much pressure is actually on the pelvic floor, even if you aren't, you know, pushing a baby out. You know, you still have been carrying a lot of pressure down there. And, you know, it's something that needs to be rehabbed. So even if you are thinking about having surgery, I'm not saying that surgery is, you know, not necessary in some cases. But you need to be aware of what caused the, you know, essentially the pressure issue in the first place, and correcting that issue, correcting your posture, correcting how you're breathing is going to play a huge effect on how successful that surgery is long term. So let's say you get the surgery. More times than not, if you haven't fixed what caused that pressure issue in the first place, it might happen again. And that's very discouraging, to even go under the knife again, you know, to get the surgery that you think is going to solve all your problems, when it could very well just come back.
Yeah, that's definitely not something you want to happen.
No.
So we have just hit about our time with you, and I'm so bummed because I feel like we could talk about this forever.
I feel like I have so much more to say about this, so we'll have to talk to you this again.
Yes, definitely. Where can everybody find you, connect with you, find you on social media, and just learn more about Move with True Love?
Perfect. Yeah, I have my Instagram account is Move with True Love, and also my blog and website is movewithtruelove.com. I'm also a playbook app trainer. So if you go to my blog, there's also a link for the playbook app. And if you just sign up under me, you can get my Conscious Core program and a bunch of other workouts too. And yeah, I have a ton of info on my Instagram, my blog, and playbook. I also have two 6-week programs out. If you don't have any core dysfunction or pelvic floor dysfunction, these would be great. It's a body weight workout. It's a body weight workout guide. It's 6 weeks. You don't need any equipment. And then I also have a 6-week limited equipment edition. So just some dumbbells and resistance bands. And, you know, everything is modifiable. Not really what you want to hear when you're postpartum, because you just want a workout that you can just do right out of the gate. That's going to be the Conscious Core program. And that's going to be on my playbook app. So you can find all that there.
Amazing. So I do have one last question for you. And yes. I ask everyone who comes on my podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, good question. My favorite right now is some Hum kombucha, and it's the mango passion fruit, I believe.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
So good. Yeah, so good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Jessie.
Erica, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad I got to do this with you.